I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
When I think about it, I may have overdone it at my candlelight supper.
Hello and welcome to another Series 5 episode of Keeping Up Appearances, the Luxury Podcast. This is the companion podcast for exploring the world of Hyacinth Bouquet in the hit BBC sitcom Keeping Up Appearances. My name's Jonathan Vernon-Smith, and with me, fresh from dawdling on a donkey in Dawlish, is William Hanson.
Hello, Jonathan and I are here for one final series because, as you all know by now, we absolutely love Hyacinth Bouquet and her world in Keeping Up Appearances.
In each episode of this luxury podcast, William and I will take you through an episode of Keeping Up Appearances, delving deep into the world of the bouquets. And today is the second episode of the last series of the sitcom, The Mayor's Fancy Dress Ball. Oh, do take us through the synopsis, William.
Hyacinth is anxious to attend the Mayor's Fancy Dress Ball. However, as Richard has retired and is no longer a council employee, they are now not automatically on the guest list. Hyacinth sends her highly embarrassed husband to the town hall to make sure they receive an invitation. When she and Richard turn up on the night, her nose is really put out when she discovers that the costume she has so carefully chosen is also being worn by others. Rose has a new boyfriend, and Daisy reminisces about the days when she and Onslow were first together.
It's great.
Yeah, it's a nice episode. Not one of the strongest of Series 5, I'm going to say. But it's not to say it's a weak episode.
No. No, I agree with you, actually.
Yes.
Yeah. Good moments.
Some lovely moments. And it starts with them in bed, Hyacinth and Richard.
Yes.
Hyacinth is going through her diary, and she's worked out that the Winslows, whoever they are, haven't returned the hospitality, which is, of course, as Hyacinth rightly points out, is a great breach of manners.
Now, it made me think of you, because I would imagine you have a similar book of shame somewhere.
Well, I don't call it a book of shame. Well, I do now, but previously didn't. But yes.
You do keep a note of who hasn't returned the invite.
I know whose turn it is to host right. us, yes.
Okay.
We're looking forward to dinner this weekend.
And in fact, you are coming up.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, you're coming to the home counties. In fact, I'm taking you and Mikey out for dinner.
Yes.
To luxury soiree.
Exactly.
Yes. To a restaurant that I think you're going to like.
I can't wait. Mm. We're going Lebanese, aren't we?
No, Turkish.
Oh. Close.
We are going Turkish. Luxury Turkish, though.
Nice.
Yeah.
What should I eat? What do you recommend?
No, I don't know. I barely know anything on the menu.
Do they have baba ganoush?
I think they do have baba ganoush, actually, yes.
I don't know what it is, but I just like saying
well,
it.
Well, maybe you can try it on Saturday.
I think it's aubergine, isn't it?
Come for a luxury soiree. Nice. They do a very nice butternut squash dish.
Oh.
Now, butternut squash, I always think it's a bit boring.
Yeah.
Not there.
Okay.
We'll reveal all.
Well, that's going to give me something to get up for.
Anyway, the table's booked for 7, by the way. And it does say in the disclaimer, we need the table back by 7. So don't dilly-dally.
We need it back by 7?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. It says
that's quick.
We need the table back by 9.
I haven't gobbled anything that quickly for a while.
So don't dilly-dally, will you?
Right, okay.
No time for that.
No.
You're going to have to get on with it.
I love it in restaurants where they tell you that they need the table back before you've even sat down. It's just so not welcoming. Yeah, we'll need the table back by 8:30. It's like, hi, we're giving you money as a business. If you serve me quickly, you can have the table back even sooner.
Gosh. Well, let's hope the owner of this luxury restaurant doesn't listen to this episode before we've gone.
True. But I also love, going back to this episode, I love the fact that Hyacinth couldn't go to sleep until she had gone through her quote-unquote book of shame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to keep a check on it.
Yes, you do.
We cross to Danesy, who's in bed with Onslow. Not really very much happens.
No, but Rose is engaged. That's the news there. And they're sort of reminiscing about when they got engaged, although I think Daisy's memory, recollections are varying.
Yeah. Back in Waney Elm, Hyacinth has now realised that they haven't been invited to the Mayor's Fancy Dress Ball this year.
Yeah, and Richard's quite pragmatic about it and says, well, I've retired.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're not going to get invited.
Yeah. But Hyacinth wants to go. It's very clear.
It's the highlight of the municipal calendar.
That's right. She also mentions to Richard that they must make themselves known to their new neighbours, Mrs. Donoghue of Proctor's Pickles.
Yes, her father's very highly placed in condiment circles.
That's true. This becomes relevant a little later in the episode.
Yes.
And sets the scene perfectly.
She mentions that Mrs. Donoghue lives in the next road. They're not actually a direct neighbour.
No.
I wondered, if we're ever trying to stretch out this podcast even more, we could go to Mrs. Donoghue's road and do a little location episode.
Yes, although you and I have been to Hyacinth's house. Mm. I don't remember that being the next road.
No, well, I'll tell you where it is in a minute.
Ah, yeah. You've looked it up.
I've Googled Street Viewed it, Jonathan.
Of course you've looked
it up. I've looked at Mrs. Donoghue's house now.
Is it even in Binley Woods?
Nope.
No?
Oh. Don't let me...
Okay,
not
we'll get
early.
To it. Yeah. Okay.
You must ring them for a chat and drop a hint, Richard.
Me?
Well, I'd do it myself, only I'm not the sort of person who goes fishing for invitations.
Onslow and Daisy, they're back in bed. Daisy's being sexy, really, isn't she?
She's trying to be. Onslow, of course,
yes.
is not going for it. Rose has got a ring, but Daisy never had an engagement ring.
Poor Daisy.
Poor deprived Daisy.
Demented Daisy. It's Waney Elm. It's the next morning. And the postman. The postman who... Do we reveal it?
Yes.
David Jansen, who plays the postman, will be joining us in this series of Keeping Up Appearances, the Luxury Podcast.
How exciting.
Oh, we are thrilled.
It's like happy families on this podcast.
Yes.
We've got the vicar's wife. The postman.
Mm-hmm.
Fingers crossed for the milkman.
Oh, is he going to make an appearance as well?
He is, yes.
Wonderful. So the postman is arriving. Hyacinth catches him as he's trying to sneak the mail through her letterbox. And she wants to know if he has her invitation for the mayor's fancy dress ball. He doesn't.
No. No, he doesn't, which is a great shame.
Mm. Liz is round for coffee. We cut to a coffee scene. Coffee at 11, Elizabeth.
And Hyacinth is making fairy cakes.
She is. She is making. We don't see her making food very often, do
no,
we?
No, we've said this before, but she's sort of there. She doesn't put a lot of mixture into the cake cases.
Poor Liz is trying to drink her coffee while Hyacinth bangs and crashes round and starts telling her all about the Mayor's Fancy Dress Ball.
Do you like fancy dress?
I hate fancy dress.
Good. Me too.
I hate fancy dress, and I think it's rude.
Yes.
I mean, you're actually going to get me going now because I do get quite angry about it. I think it is the height of rudeness to hold a fancy dress party and to invite people to a fancy dress party. I think it's disgustingly rude because if you're going to have a party and entertain your friends and invite your friends, do not give them a whole load of impossible work that they have to do before they can attend the party and have fun.
Mm.
Do not give them things that they will need to spend money on.
Yep.
It's like these parties where people say, oh, come to our party dressed in white.
Oh, no.
You know, so I've now got to go out and buy clothes just so I can come to your stupid party. Well, no, you can stick it where the sun don't shine. That's what I say, William. So don't you ever invite me to a fancy dress party.
Okay. Yeah, I don't like it because also people take... I don't go to fancy. I just decline invitations. But on the couple that I've been to, people just take off their costume anyway after about 5 minutes.
What did you go as?
I can't even remember. I think a smart casual witch I went. And I literally just went... I just wore
How
smart...
How can you go as a smart casual witch?
I wore... normal smart casual, and just stuck a witch's hat on my head. And I went, I'm a smart casual witch.
I see.
And that was that.
It really does. But seriously, I mean, I don't wish to bring this podcast down.
No.
It really gets on my nerves.
Yeah. I'm being reminded by our luxury producer, who in a previous life identified as my luxury flatmate.
I see.
In a weird twist of fate, this is now, he can't escape me. And he has reminded me that we went to a murder mystery evening. But I had to dress as a... I can't remember what my character was, but I just ended up wearing a suit, which is just my work thing. Actually, I can say this on this podcast because it's very unlikely that my current neighbours are going to listen to this podcast because they're not bucket heads. They're trying to... Literally for a year, they have tried to organise with the entire flat a murder mystery thing.
Oh, no. And avoid it.
Luckily...
Move.
We've all come up with excuses not to go. I think most of the flat want to do it.
Mm.
But every time disasters have happened, family deaths, things have happened. But it's getting to the point where we can't. And I just want to say to them, I want to see all of you. But I don't want to do a murder mystery.
No.
They're so cringe.
Yeah. If there's one thing that annoys me more than fancy dress parties, it's people who enjoy fancy dress parties.
Yeah.
Do you know the kind of couples?
Yeah.
You know, you want to kill them with your bare hands. The ones who get excited and plan their costumes.
Yep.
I mean, a bit like Hyacinth and Richard. Well, not poor Richard. I mean, poor old Richard has to go along with it. But you know those couples who get very excited about planning their costumes?
Yeah.
I just Tragic. Hate them. I'm not even joking.
No.
I really hate people like that.
Do you know people like that?
Yes.
Yes.
I hate them.
I think Hyacinth is only really going along with it. I would like to think, maybe I'm projecting my own feelings onto Hyacinth, if it weren't the mayor doing it, if it was just Mrs. Donahue, well, actually, if it was Mrs. Donahue, she might go along with it. But if it was just Bob down the road, fancy dress party, I don't think she'd be bothered.
No.
But it's the highlight of the municipal calendar.
Exactly.
So she's going along with it.
Oh, haven't you an invitation for me?
Why would I invite you anywhere?
Richard is at the council building. He filmed, of course, in Northampton.
Yes.
Yes.
Actually, that was the Leamington Spa Town Hall.
Was it?
Yep.
I thought that was the one in Northampton.
No, I thought it was too, but I've looked it up and checked.
Oh, okay.
But the one in Northampton does look very similar.
It does look very similar. Yes, it had me confused.
Yes, and in that town hall, we see Ivor Daniels play Richard's colleague, who, can you remember in Series 3, Episode 1, was the one who was firing Richard?
Remember Paul? When?
Yeah. Who gets pushed out. You know, Richard's like, goodbye, Richard. I mean, Richard's pleading to stay on.
Well, he seems quite nice in
yes,
this.
Yes, he's lovely. Well, that's presumably because he's got rid of Richard.
Understanding Paul.
Yeah. But then also, slightly at odds with what we see for the rest of the series, he's like, oh, Hyacinth's coming. Yeah, fine, I'll get you an invitation.
Mm.
But I guess that had to happen.
Well, back in the kitchen, the phone has rung. And it's my sister Rose. She's not the one with the swimming pool sauna and room for a pony.
Which is beautifully mimed by Liz. As Hyacinth is shouting it from the nook in the hall, Liz is able to mime it because she's heard it so many times.
Mm. Now, at this point, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
A very slight nerve gets hit for me in this episode.
Oh.
Because Rose has phoned to say that she's engaged to a Polish person.
Yes.
And Hyacinth, at this point, doesn't react so well to the idea of my sister Rose being engaged to a Polish person, who we quickly become aware is known as Cuddly Chops, because no one can pronounce his name.
Which, again, I felt was similar to that episode with Bunty and Dorian, with Mrs. Thing.
Mm.
And I felt that we were slightly going over that joke again.
Yeah.
Even I think the nationality is the same.
We'll come back to why it hits a slight raw nerve, but I'll tell you more in a second.
I think I know.
Because the scene then cuts. Liz is back home chatting to a depressed Emmett.
Yeah, he's that sort of joyful Emmett we got in the last episode is no longer there.
It's gone. He's upset that Hyacinth has apparently offered to help with his dress rehearsal. Liz tells him about Rose, and then Emmett's mood entirely changes. Because he suddenly gets excited about the thought of, if Rose is engaged to a Polish person, that will mean a wedding in Poland.
And she'll have to go to Poland, which isn't that far away.
No.
But it's further away than next door.
That's right. And when Liz breaks the news that, in fact, this Polish person lives in this country, he's then crestfallen again.
Yeah, he goes a little bit GB News.
Yes. Now, the reason it hits a slight nerve with me is that my sister-in-law is Polish. So my brother married a Polish woman.
Can you pronounce her name?
Agnieszka.
There we go.
We call her Aggie.
Yes.
And thankfully, she's now Aggie Vernon Smith, which is very pronounceable because I couldn't even have an attempt at her original surname. Cuddly Chops.
Do you call her Cuddly Chops?
No, my brother might.
We should actually, talking of, before we continue down your nerve, talking of that fat part of your family.
Yes.
You have recently been teaching Charlie, your nephew, catchphrases from other sitcoms.
Yeah.
Including one from LOLO.
Yes.
And Charlie, who is four?
He's four. Yes, four and a half.
Now, including at school, we'll say.
So there is a line in LOLO where René Artois,
who's the main character.
Who is the main character. He's forever fondling other women. And his wife catches him because he's French.
Yes, that's what they do.
What the French men do, isn't it? And his wife catches him and she says, René, what are you doing with that girl? And he always takes a slight pause and then with a withering expression says, you stupid woman. And I thought it was quite a good idea to teach my young 4.5-year-old nephew how to say, you stupid woman. Unfortunately, he had a slight problem and it doesn't sound like he's got a problem with his plurals.
You stupid women!
After I taught him this, he was so pleased with himself.
You stupid women!
My brother said, what's going to happen when he goes to school tomorrow and says that to his female teacher?
And has he done that yet?
I haven't dared speak to my brother since that episode, no.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's lovely. I'm going to teach him some hyacinth expressions as well. Yeah.
We cannot have a Cuddly Chops in the family.
Yes. Well, I'm seeing him this weekend, so I'll get cracking.
Yes. Is that before or after our luxury dinner?
After our luxury dinner.
Fine. We can plan some sayings
to teach we'll plan some expressions to teach my nephew. Yeah, quite.
But going back to your raw nerve in Poland.
Yes. So, I just find the way that they're talking about the fact that she's met someone from Poland, it's all just a bit kind of rude, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
And the reality is my brother and his wife's wedding was in Poland.
Yes, you went.
I went to the Polish wedding.
Yep.
And I mean, you would have loved it.
And was it short?
I would have loved you to be there.
Okay.
It was the most alcoholic wedding I have ever attended.
Oh.
The Poles, good Lord, they can drink.
And this is coming from you.
I have never seen anything like it. So when we arrived, it was in this beautiful old brick factory. This is where the wedding was. That's all now been converted into a kind of luxury wedding venue in Gdansk, or just outside Gdansk. And it was a beautiful hot summer's afternoon. And we went into this room having had the wedding outside. And we went in for the reception. And at every place setting was a bottle of vodka.
Oh.
A full, like 1.5-litre bottle of vodka with a shot glass.
Oh.
And so the wedding, you know, everything started and everybody started, you know, the wine came round. So I was getting stuck into the wine, little realising what happens at the end of the lunch experience, because it was a wedding lunch, a wedding breakfast, I presume. And at the end, when the speeches started, everybody has to fill their shot glass with vodka, neat vodka. And throughout the speeches, you know, at various moments, they say, Prost! Everybody has to hold up this shot glass and down a shot of vodka. And by the end of the speeches, everyone had pretty much polished off an entire bottle of vodka. My Auntie Hillary fell off her chair. She was completely legless before we'd even finished the speeches. It was bordering on dangerous.
Yeah, I bet it was.
Then the drinking game started.
Oh, God.
On the dance floor. And if you lost the drinking game, you had to down an entire bottle of vodka. I've never seen, it's a miracle everybody got home alive.
Yes.
I've never seen anything like it. And I will always remember the journey. It wasn't a long journey from the venue to the coach.
Mm.
And I was so drunk, I could barely walk.
Wow.
It was dangerously alcoholic. And I would have paid money to see you there, clambering to that coach on all fours. It was wonderful. So it's a shame, really, that Rose didn't go for a wedding in Poland with old cuddly chops.
Yeah.
Because they would have loved it. And Hyacinth would definitely have fallen off her chair.
She would have had more than the Dowager Lady Ursula's homemade gooseberry wine.
Absolutely. Oh, hang on a minute. I better get that. It's probably the Chinese ambassador.
We'll be back momentarily.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back, Bucketheads. We're still discussing the second episode of the fifth and final series, The Mayor's Fancy Dress Ball.
Mm. The doorbell has gone in Elizabeth and Emmett's house.
Yes.
Rather unusual for that to occur.
Yes.
And it's Richard, for once, who's come in to tell Emmett that he's passing on a message from Hyacinth. She cannot attend his dress rehearsal, which, of course, is music to Emmett's ears.
Lifts his spirits.
Yes.
Do you think there's quite a lot of furniture in Liz and Emmett's house? It's very cluttered.
Yes. 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 Would you like to redesign it?
Well, I've only just noticed.
Have you noticed that Emmett then says to Richard, let's have a drink.
Yes.
And they have a gin and tonic, a large gin and tonic at lunchtime.
You could. You didn't have a commute.
Exactly. Have you ever got sloshed with your next door neighbours? Of course you have.
Yes.
Yes. It's lovely getting sloshed with neighbours, isn't it?
It is. I'd have to be, if they do this murder mystery, I'll be more than sloshed.
Yes. Anaesthetised.
Yes.
Daisy and Rose are talking about her new Polish fiancé. And this is where we get on to the fact that they can't pronounce his name.
Yeah. And they're handing around this piece of paper and Onslow's doing the turn it around thing.
Yeah.
It's a bit tedious.
Yeah. Bit xenophobic.
Mm.
Never mind. It was the 90s.
Yes.
Hyacinth and Richard are then talking about the fancy dress ball, and Hyacinth wants to decide on their outfits.
I love the fact that she says, oh, I've never told you this, but you're very disappointing as a Roman.
Yes. Poor old Richard. Disappointing Roman Richard. Elizabeth and Emmett, then they come out of their house as Hyacinth and Richard appear, and Emmett panics. This is quite a nice physical moment, I think, with Emmett, as he panics and tries to get back into the house, but the house is locked by this point. He gets back into the house before Hyacinth properly notices him.
Hmm.
But she catches him out of the corner of her eye, and there's that nice moment where she says to Elizabeth that she thinks that, in fact, Emmett had seen her, and he's a little bit in love with her.
Which is sweet.
Yes, it is rather nice.
He must have forgotten something in the house.
No, dear. I'm afraid it's me. I rather think I send his senses reeling.
Then Hyacinth and Richard go out for a walk.
Yes.
And this is where they supposedly go into the next street.
Yes, Richard's suspicious as to why they're going for this walk. Why are they walking in the direction that they are walking?
Yeah.
It quickly becomes apparent why.
Yes, they're actually walking, not on the next street, but 20 minutes down the road by car, in Graves Close in Warwick, to the road that is next to them, which is Mrs. Donoghue's.
So it was in Warwick, was it?
Yeah.
Okay, and while they're on their journey, Hyacinth starts talking about how she wants to go to the mayor's fancy dress ball dressed as Marie Antoinette.
And they're going past number 10 twice. They sort of walk past it and do a U-turn and go back. And Richard asks the question that many of us ask today. Tell me now, Hyacinth, who is at number 10? It's quite proud of that.
Very clever.
Thank you.
Well done.
Yes.
Yes. A political joke.
Yes. Satire.
For our British listeners. Yes, quite. And Hyacinth admits that Mrs. Donoghue, you know, of Proctor's Pickles.
Yes.
She lives at number 10 and she's very much hoping to bump into her.
If someone was walking back and forth across your house, would you go and talk to them or not?
No.
No.
No. I would be suspicious as to who they were and why they wanted to talk to me.
We all know the way to try and engage people in conversation outside their house is to donate to Help for Heroes and with an envelope, push it through their letterbox.
Guess that has certainly worked for us.
Yes, brilliantly.
Mm. Hyacinth and Richard then arrive home and it becomes apparent she has made them walk back and forth past number 10 23 times, William.
That's a lot of steps.
It is a lot of steps. Hyacinth makes a nice cup of tea while telling Richard he's got to go into town to get their costumes. And there's quite a nice little line about, it's a funny Sheridan line, about how he dressed as Maid Marian, or wanted to dress as Maid Marian.
And was very upset he couldn't. Again, I think they sort of ramp that bit up in series five. Outside, now it's outside, is the postman and the kid. And in one of the outtakes that we previously discussed on our bonus episodes, there's a fun bit of that scene, an outtake, where the kid just turns to Harold Stone and goes, he makes me laugh.
Yes.
And it's so sweet.
Yes. The postman's scared to go up her drive, so that's why he's trying to bribe this child with some money. He offers him 50 quid, but the kid, what, for Mrs. Bucket? The kid wants £1 instead.
Yes. This series is set in the Midlands. However, this child...
Yes. He's one of Fagin's children, I think.
Yes.
Shut up, drink your gin.
He's not from this patch. He's moved. He's relocated.
We cut to the inside of Wenny Elm. Mm. Hyacinth's wearing my favourite outfit again.
She is, just for you.
My bistro suit. My bistro set suit. The phone rings. It's Sheridan.
Yes, and she has... It's amazing that Sheridan has rung because Hyacinth has recently found his first sewing kit.
Yes. She tells Sheridan that she's now on nodding terms with the Proctor's Pickle.
And that she wants to go to the mayor's fancy dress ball as Marie Antoinette.
Yes.
Can you sew?
But no, can I sew?
Yeah.
Not really.
No, I can't.
No. No, any attempt at sewing has normally come undone fairly soon.
Luckily, Mikey can sew, so in our house, that's covered by him.
What is he sewing?
Well, just a button.
Oh.
Yeah, no, he's not sitting there doing his needlepoint.
I take things like that to my luxury tailor.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah, true. What, even a button?
Well, if one fell off, probably.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because if I attempted to do it, I'd lose it then. It would fall off. I'd have my Aussie do it.
He's called Aussie. He's not Australian.
No. That's true. No, he'd sew it back on for me.
Okay.
Hyacinth and Richard are now in the Rover.
Well, there's the scene at Liz's where they're looking out the window and we don't see what the costume is at this point.
True.
And Liz goes, oh, Hyacinth wanted to go as Marie Antoinette.
Mm.
Whereas they've all said Marie Antoinette.
Yeah.
I don't know which is more correct.
It builds the suspense, doesn't it? Because we don't see what they're wearing. But Elizabeth says, oh, I wouldn't have missed this for the world.
No, and then sort of Emmett, there was an odd Emmett line where He sort of says, oh, she could have gone a Supreme Lady Champion. If she had a rosette, she could have, you know, at Crufts. You know what they call those. And of course, I did a bit of Googling and I couldn't really find it, but I guess what they're meaning. If you are Supreme Lady Champion...
You're a dog.
Well, you're a female dog.
Oh.
And if you've got a rosette, you're basically a prize bitch. I think that's what he's basically inferring Hyacinth is. But I don't think Hyacinth's a bitch, would you say?
No, and I'm not sure that Emmett would be that spiteful to her.
But just play that scene back, yeah. And I think that's sort of what the writing is anyway, even if it's out of character.
Well, that makes me feel sorry for our Hyacinth.
All she needs is a Crufts first prize rosette and she could go as Supreme Lady Champion. And you know what they call those?
Oh, Emmett.
Talking of Crufts, would you ever enter Poppy? I can see you at Crufts with Claire Balding talking about you.
No, I would not enter Poppy in Crufts.
Oh, go on.
No. I find I have to be a little bit careful because I do know people that go to Crufts and they are nice people, but I do find it all a bit odd.
Really? In what way?
Well, when people show animals, I find it a bit odd.
Yeah.
You know,
ta-da!
Coiffuring a Bichon Frise just seems all a bit odd to me.
Yes.
You know, if you've got a dog, take it for a walk, throw a ball for it. Don't stand there brushing it like Auntie Barbara. I mean, it's just a bit odd, isn't it, really?
It is. But I've got a lovely mental image of you.
Brushing Auntie Barbara. Come here, Barbara.
Trotting Poppy around on a lead on a bit of AstroTurf.
Right, okay. Well, I'll create the scene for you on Saturday, shall I?
Yes. I'll bring the rosette.
Yes.
Yeah, they're in the car, but back to Hyacinth and Richard away from Crufts.
If I did go into Crufts, I'd have to use Poppy's proper breeder name.
Oh, what is it?
Do you know what Poppy's breeder name is?
You have told me, but tell me again.
Timely Treacherous.
Why are dog breeder names so weird?
My late cat, who I loved very much, he was Tormist Scroobius Pip.
Which is why it was called Pip.
Yeah. And
sounds quite Dickensian.
Yeah, and Poppy is Timely Treacherous. Timely Treacherous the First.
So if she had a child, they would be Timely Treacherous the Second. Is that how it works?
I don't know. Honestly, it's all so weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny old world.
She's a black Labrador. It's all you need to know.
Why did you pick Poppy?
I don't know, really. It was a name that I thought was nice.
Yeah.
Wasn't embarrassing to shout across a park.
Yes.
Although it has been embarrassing from time to time, and I have had to shout it across a park.
Oh.
Yeah, so I thought it was just an okay name.
No, it's good. It's fine. Yeah.
She seems to have grown into it.
She has. She's definitely a Poppy.
She's Poppy, yeah.
So the car breaks down, funnily enough, this is Hyacinth and Richard's car, on the road right outside Mrs. Donahue's.
Yes, quite. But we don't yet know for sure that it's outside Mrs. Donahue's. We get an idea, don't we?
Yes.
That it's going to be outside her house. Meanwhile, outside Waney Elm, Onslow, Daisy and Rose have arrived in the Cortina. They've come to tell Hyacinth that Daddy's gone.
Yeah.
And Liz and Emmett come out to inform them that they've just missed them. They're on their way to the Mayor's Fancy Dress Ball, and if they hurry up, they'll catch them.
Yes. And Mr. Watsit blows a kiss from the car. That's his entire routine.
Yes. Cuddly chops.
Cuddly chops. Cuddly chops, Watsit.
Meanwhile, Mrs. Donahue is outside her house doing a bit of gardening.
She looks very smart.
She does.
Very smart woman.
And all we hear are some noises, some kind of grunting, huffing and puffing noises. We're not quite sure what these noises, where these noises are coming from. Quickly, we realise it's Hyacinth who is pushing the rover that's broken down, and she's dressed as Boudica.
Yes, Boudica or Boadicea.
Boadicea, yeah.
Some people, and it's different, two different spellings. Mm-hmm. And yeah, do you know who Boudica Boadicea was?
I'm sure you'll tell us.
She was the queen of the ancient British Iceni tribe, who led a failed uprising against the conquering forces of the Roman Empire in AD 60 and 61, she's considered a British national heroine and a symbol of the struggle for justice and independence. And interestingly, and this is where Hyacinth had not thought a costume through, Boadicea, died aged 31.
Oh gosh. And Hyacinth was definitely over that age.
Just a bit.
Sadly for Hyacinth, Mrs. Donahue recognises her, even with the costume on. Mrs. Bucket, she says.
And I think Hyacinth should have, again, played into the fancy dress. Mm. A bit like with the Cooper Bassetts at the fun fair, and gone, we're going to the mayor's fancy dress ball. Mm. I'm going as Boudicca.
Instead, she's just embarrassed and horrified at being caught pushing the rover dressed as Boudicca. She tries to add a little bit of class to the whole moment by saying, I don't think you've met my husband, Richard. At which point, we have the reveal, the grand reveal of Richard, who appears to be dressed as
a caveman.
A cross between a caveman and a peasant.
Yes. It's an odd outfit.
It is an odd outfit.
I don't think Boudicca had a husband.
No, that's true. So we're not quite sure why he's wearing that, but there we go. It's funny. He looks funny. Mrs. Donahue can't wait to get away.
Yes.
She practically runs to get away from them. Then to make matters even worse, Onslow, etc., they all arrive in the Cortina. And Hyacinth looks as if she's about to collapse with the horror of the whole moment. The whole embarrassment of it. It's all happening in front of a proctor's pickle, for goodness sake.
But at least the car turned up, the Cortina, because they can then arrive at the mayor's fancy dress ball, which is the penultimate scene, and they can arrive.
Not before she said to Onslow, do put a jacket on, Onslow. You're being observed by a proctor's pickle.
When we see some arrivals at the town hall for the party, the mayor's there in his mayoral chains. Why is he not dressed up? He's not in fancy dress.
No.
He's flipping ball. Just because you're wearing your gown and all that, that's not a costume.
Mm.
That's regalia.
Very true. The Cortina pulls up. Hilarious exhaust pipe explosion.
And apparently in Harold Snow's book, he writes, if you watch it back, there's someone on the opposite side who was a member of the public, who was just in the back of shot, who jumps out of his skin because he didn't know what was about to happen. So I'm going to go and watch that
it's
again.
It's hilarious. That explosion is absolutely hilarious. And everyone, of course, looks in horror as Hyacinth and Richard emerge from the Cortina. And it's very clear that Onslow has, of course, given them a lift. Hyacinth, as he tries to get out of the car, she pushes him back into the car with her spear.
Yes.
Forces him back in.
And then for whatever bizarre reason, I don't really get this, she sort of meets the mayor, also uses the wrong term of address. You don't really address mayors as worship. Correct me if I'm wrong, Bucketheads. You just say, Mr. Mayor, or my mayor, or I can't remember what other else you say, but you don't say your worship. But then lots of other guests turn up as Boudicca.
Yeah.
I don't really get that. Like three or four guests, not just one.
But that's the whole joke at the end, isn't it? That everyone else is wearing her outfit, so she's not special anymore.
Yeah.
So she wants to go home because she's going to be one of a number of Boudiccas.
True. The bit I absolutely didn't get is sort of then the penultimate shot is of a man getting out of another taxi dressed as Gandhi? I don't know. Who is he?
Or Jesus.
Jesus, God.
Yeah.
I don't know who it is.
Yes, it's certainly gone a little bit Roy Clark at the end, hasn't it?
And it's not really that funny.
A little bit strange. The final bit is quite fun, with them standing at the bus stop, waiting for the bus, dressed in their outfits.
And Hyacinth carrying on as if nothing unusual had happened.
Cue the end credits. Again, another slightly weak ending.
Yeah.
But I think there were some fun moments in it.
There are. There's some nice lines. Not my favourite episode. That's potentially the one next week.
Well, you've made that quite clear.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Now, if you want to keep up with the bouquets, you can listen to William and me chatting through every episode of Series 1, 2, 3 and 4. You should know by now, for the fifth and final series, we have a second weekly serving of the luxury podcast with genuine bonus embellishments.
We'll be back tomorrow with the second episode of our brand new bonus release, where we will take a look at Hyacinth in advertising.
For now, Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Shrink the Box is back for a brand new season. This is the podcast where we put our favorite fictional TV characters into therapy. Join me, Ben Bailey-Smith, and our brand new psychotherapist, Namon Metaxas.
Hi, Ben. Yes, this season we're going to be putting the likes of Tommy from Peaky Blinders, Cersei from Game of Thrones on the couch to learn why their behavior creates so much drama.
So make sure you press the follow button to get new episodes as soon as they land on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. Shrink the Box is a Sony Music Entertainment original podcast.